Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferentz.
Restarting America, not so easy. What's happening at Ford? Trump, the National Guard, and GI benefits. And today on the show, the latest from our independent labor voice, Tom Buffenbarger, and the Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission. Good afternoon and welcome to the Tuesday, May 26th edition of America's Workforce. We're recorded right here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers all across America. You can find us online, awfradio.com, and you can listen to the show, any show that we do, Monday through Friday, wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, just some examples there. We have two guests on the show today, as we usually do. Mr. Thomas Buffenbarger will be joining us, acting as our independent labor voice, spent his entire life with the Machinists Union, many of those years as general president. He has retired about 4 or 5 years now, going on 5 years, I believe. Well, we're going to talk about the pandemic and the reaction to the pandemic. And what the, one thing is what the machinists are doing in several Boeing shops in Washington State. Their production has shifted to 3D printed face shields to support healthcare professionals and cloth masks to protect fellow union members and other workers. We've been talking about this for months on end here, about how so many locals are coming to the table here. And a lot of this they're doing on their own as well. I mean, there's some companies, I mean, Ford is making ventilators. I'll get to Ford in a minute. But in this case, 33,000 cloth masks are being produced at one of the plants. This is in Everett, Washington. Good news there. We're also going to talk about being made in America, and you're hearing this from conservatives as well as progressives. After the coronavirus, hopefully it'll be settling down here. I mean, a lot of people are getting back to work, but we're still seeing a spike in various areas. We need to make essential items here in America. We did a show not too long ago about prescription drugs. At least 85, close to 90% of our prescription drugs are made in China. Steel. Talk to the steel workers about all the Chinese steel being dumped in America. I don't know how much is being dumped now, but I could go on and on and on. And if you listen to any of our shows that we've done, I've been hosting this show for 22 years, you have seen what's happened with jobs going offshore. And it all began, well, with NAFTA. NAFTA started the bleeding. And then you had trade deal after trade deal, and then China entered the World Trade Organization, and we saw an exodus. I mean, go to the store today, pick up a product, find out where it's made. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe this will be a wake-up call. We'll find out. John Rice will be joining us later in the show. He is with the Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission, and I'm sure we'll do a wrap-up on Memorial Day services yesterday, what the Veterans Service Commission did, and what they plan to do. And they are slowly but surely opening up their offices. We'll get an update on how they are protecting those that are working there, as well as the vets that come in there and get services. And if you need services, can't emphasize this enough. Veterans, dependents of veterans, you may be eligible for assistance with a VA claim, disability, pension, widow pensions, military records, memorial fair, social work, rent, mortgage, utility bills, food. And when I talk about rent and mortgage, this is stuff, temporary assistance that you don't have to pay back. Could go for a couple of months, depending on need. Clothing, hygiene, medical transportation. Here's the number to call, 1-866-915-VETS. 866, this is toll-free, 866-915-8387, the Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission. Now, they're located at 1849 Prospect Avenue, right on the first floor, cuyahogavets.org. They also have offices at the VA Center and over in Parma. So, and they do a lot of outreach. Now, that's all changed because of the pandemic, and John will bring us up to speed on that. Well, here's a story that really shocked a whole lot of people, and hats off to Congressman Tim Ryan, who on Friday joined a bipartisan group of both House and Senate members in sending a letter to President Trump, the Secretary of Defense Mark Esper, FEMA, the management agency, and Senator Pete Gaynor, asking that the National Guard members deployed to help the pandemic receive benefits they deserve when they return to state service. Makes sense, right? Well, the Trump administration currently plans on ending National Guard deployment June 24th, one day before thousands of service members would receive additional education and retirement benefits under the post-9/11 GI Bill. Why did that happen? We're talking altogether 40,000 National Guard members. You've seen them distributing food at food banks, helping whoever needed help. Ryan didn't mince any words. This is the definition of heartless. Just a day before thousands of National Guardsmen are set to receive additional education and retirement benefits, the Trump administration plans to end their deployment. Let me repeat, this administration is ending their deployment one day before they would receive additional benefits. This is not a coincidence. The Trump administration is ending their important mission to combat the pandemic in order to save a couple of bucks on the backs of our service members. They should be ashamed of themselves, said Congressman Ryan. He points out that the National Guard members have provided logistical support, humanitarian relief, medical care to communities all across the country. In his district, Mahoning Valley area, the Ohio National Guard has served with distinction by providing food to those in need through their service at Second Harvest Food Bank in Youngstown and the Akron-Canton Regional Food Bank. The Guard have also partnered with local hospitals and state agencies to assess potential sites for alternate medical facilities. He went on to say, our national success in flattening the curve will not be possible without the contributions of the National Guard. We believe it is critical to ensure that all National Guard personnel are taken care of during this crisis and after, recognizing the threat of COVID-19 will not immediately go away, and the National Guard is likely to be called again in the future. Unbelievable. So I guess the way it works, you have to be deployed for 90 days to get that credit. As soon as they get 89, bingo, over. Wow. Yeah, definitely calculated. Well, things didn't go as planned when Ford reopened its Dearborn, Michigan plant. This was last Wednesday. That's a plant that manufactures F-150 trucks. Turns out the first shift that day, the first in 2 months, was cut short after a worker tested positive for the coronavirus. Now, United Auto Workers Local 600, which represents the workers at the plant, has filed a grievance against Ford seeking additional safety measures for its members. The UAW demanded the immediate closure of the plant and that all 4,000 workers are tested for the virus, a grievance seeking the reopening of the plant only when a majority of workers tests positive. Additionally, the grievance seeks a 24-hour closure of the plant for cleaning whenever a worker tests positive and an extra 20 minutes of break time per shift because the face masks that workers must wear make their physical labor more taxing. Gary Walkowitz, who is a bargain committee man at the plant, said there's no way to really be 6 feet apart on the assembly line, so people in those positions are very much concerned. Now, once again, how many times have I talked about the union difference on this show? This is a unionized operation. The workers have power. In a Honda plant or a Nissan plant where they don't have a presence of a union, you're not going to see that kind of thing. Why are unionized workers so much more willing to speak out against unsafe working conditions during a pandemic? Well, according to reporting from Dave Jamieson, who is now at the Huffington Post, he's been on the show a couple of times. Good guy, does a lot of labor news. He says the answer is simple. Unionized workers are protected from retaliation for speaking out, and non-union workers are not. Because virtually all union contracts protect covered workers from discharge without just cause. An employer generally cannot punish a union worker who talks to the press about unsafe conditions at work. Non-union at-will employees, on the other hand, can be fired for virtually any reason or no reason at all. Maybe your boss is having a bad day. You know, I don't like the way you look. You're out of here. While on paper, the Occupational Safety and Health Act protects workers' right to refuse to do dangerous work, the legal bar is high, and the agency is so currently uninterested in protecting workers that in practice, the protection is not very meaningful. We'll stay on this. We have a really good labor lawyer here in Northeastern Ohio that's been monitoring this, Joyce Goldstein. And she joins us on the second Friday of each and every month. She's been watching what's happening here. Meanwhile, in an interview with Mother Jones magazine, Robert Reich, former labor secretary, he was the labor secretary when Bill Clinton was president, he predicted a post-pandemic strike wave as essential workers seek to improve their working conditions after sacrificing so much for the good of society. His message to essential workers, once this is over, threaten to go on strike. Go on a wildcat strike. Do whatever you need to improve your wages and working conditions. You deserve it. You have public support. Reich went on to say the big corporations, many of them for-profit and are doing very, very well, they really need to respond better to your needs, and they can afford to do so. Reich's prediction of a post-crisis strike wave has some precedent. The largest strike wave in American history came right after World War II, as workers and unions who fueled the war support sought compensation for their sacrifice. One to watch, no doubt. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, our independent labor voice, Mr. Thomas Buffenbarger, coming up next. Don't go away.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for its communications and events needs because the BMA Media Group knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to market union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit www.bmamedia.com.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Once again, welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers across America. You can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, just some examples. And once you get hooked on the show, which I know will happen because of the good content and the great guests we have on the show, you can subscribe to our podcast and give us a rating. We appreciate a 5-star rating. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the United Labor Agency, ulagency.org. We'll get Dave Meganhart on the show next week as slowly but surely more people are going back to work. I just picked this up today. Metro Health will give approximately 4,000 frontline non-union workers a 2.25% pay bump for the last 12 pay periods of this year as hospital staff continue to fight against the coronavirus pandemic. Now, this is not the norm in Cleveland. for healthcare workers as hospital systems face economic pressure due to COVID-19. The systems needed to prepare for a potential surge of patients and lost money when the state restricted elective surgeries and procedures. I mean, they're bleeding a whole lot of money. So this definitely surprised a lot of people. Meanwhile, at university hospitals, merit-based pay raises are being delayed until the end of the year. The system isn't matching retirement account contributions through the end of this year. And at the Cleveland Clinic, merit increases are suspended in 2020 as the system develops a recovery plan. So everything is being looked at very, very closely right now. Let's go to our live line and join Tommy Buffenbarger, former general president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. We're just talking off the air on how so many things are going to change in America because of what happened with this coronavirus. Tom, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today?
Oh, hang it in there, Flash. I'm like the majority of Americans, still hanging out at home, and I've been planning my vacation for this year. I'm going to go visit the guest room for a week. And it's crazy, but still doing okay. I heard your comments about changing work in America, Flash, and I've been spending a lot of time reading and talking with former co-workers, a lot of retired buddies of mine from the other unions, and this is going to be a new world that we emerge into once all this is, we can say it's behind us. And the world of work is going to change.
The question is, how will workers benefit from this, if they'll benefit at all? I mean, we're seeing a lot of people who can work from home. But there's a lot of occupations, as you know. Let's look at the machinist industry. There's one example. You can't do that at home.
Build airplanes or jet engines or submarines or warships or, agricultural equipment. None of that can be done at home.
No.
But
no.
What supports those efforts, the engineering, the science behind it, those workers who contribute to the end product, their workplace will change. And slowly but surely, that change changes the scope of what we do at a work site. So right now, Flash, with all the stuff that's going on, rest assured, companies are, while they may be reeling from the relatively fast economic impact they experience, they're learning from this. And it's going to change what a factory looks like in the future, what a work site looks in the future. And it may not happen in the blink of an eye, but it will happen. And now is the time that the unions need to really put their futurist hats on and start thinking about this in the workplace. Start talking among themselves, talking with their membership about what's going to happen in the future and get ideas so that we're prepared for when changes start to find their way into the workplace. We already have an understanding and a view of what this could mean to workers. And actually, Flash, it could be an exciting time for workers to develop a bigger say in how work gets done in America. We learned with pharmaceuticals, for sure, that putting all our eggs in the foreign basket didn't work out too well for us here.
No. It's funny you bring that up. I just had a story at the top of the hour about Robert Reich. You may remember him. He was the labor secretary.
Oh, yeah.
With the Clinton administration. He is predicting a post-pandemic strike wave because of all the essential workers now who are on the front lines. And many of them are not making it through either. They're dying. They're speaking out because they don't have the personal protective equipment. Some of them are unionized, some are not. But he said, he goes back, and I guess history has some precedent on this. After World War II, workers in a lot of unions who were supporting the country during the war, they came back and they said, well, wait a minute, you know, you got to do better here on the job. And there was a wave of strikes. Do you see this kind of thing happening here? What's your thoughts, Tom?
I think it's very possible. At the end of World War II, it was a little different than this pandemic because we had approximately 16 million men and women in uniform. And serving in the military, one of the things that was highly emphasized is teamwork, working together, watching out for your buddy, working as a unit. And so it's funny how the work you do in many union occupations is based on a solid team performance. And when they came back, they found out that individual approach management wanted to take with a lot of favoritism wasn't working out for the team. And the workers understood that, and that's where they saw the ability to get back to teamwork again was through the unions.
Mm-hmm.
I think the groundwork is certainly there for that to happen this time, but we've got to educate them and demonstrate very clearly to workers that, you know, take the frontline people fighting this pandemic. Not only are they getting sick and dying, looking out for the rest of us, their employers want to cut their pay and citing the economic impact of it. Well, there's something wrong with that picture. And the only way the workers are going to find a way to address it and kind of resist it or fight back is through working as a team. And a union is what's needed to make that happen, given the laws of the land we have and the way things are understood in this country. So it goes back to my earlier comments. Unions need to start thinking now about the workforce and the workplace of tomorrow. Be prepared for it, and we got to figure out how do we demonstrate to the workers out there, especially non-union workers, there's value in the person who's standing next to you. And you may think you're a strong individual and you can fend for your own rights, but it's not that easy. But when the worker next to you or on each side of you feels the same way and you all approach the issue together, you can achieve some mm-hmm. success in that.
Yeah.
We've got to figure out a way now to present that to the new workforce that's going to come out of this pandemic.
All right, here's the big question, Tom. In the labor movement, and you're very close to the labor movement, are there enough people? Let's start with Trumka, and I don't know how long he's going to stick around. There's some saying that he may retire after next year. I'm just wondering, do we have, I'm thinking back to the old days, too, when you had the firebrand, like the Walter Reuthers of the world, and who were very outspoken. I mean, there was a time that they said that he might have even been a presidential candidate. The George Meanies of the world. Do we have those components today to take it to the next level as to what you're speaking about here, Tom? What's your thoughts?
I think certainly the potential was there. I was always, you know, I'm one of the old geezers now. I'm retired. And so, you know, you get put in the geezer corner, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I still would offer advice, and I also watch what happens in the labor movement very closely. Rich Trumka is a friend of mine. He's done a good job. I know Rich is probably looking to retire himself. And there are a new group of young labor leaders coming up now and representing their unions at the AFL-CIO. They're developing that broad view and of the scope of work in America and how everybody has a role to play. And quite frankly, I see this as an opportunity for women to emerge in the labor movement into key leadership roles. Liz Shuler, who's currently the Secretary Treasurer, who came out of the IBEW, and a young woman who's very bright and articulate and a very loyal person to workers, to the teams she works with. There's an opportunity. And I think, too, in the times I've got to spend with Liz, she understands this future-looking stuff. That's where the labor movement finds a new surge, a new revival, is what's coming down the road at us. She felt that way long before the pandemic, because just technology alone and the type of work, the things that people in the country were demanding either for products or services has been changing anyway. This has hastened it. There's opportunities. And I would say some of the old guys got some ideas about that, having learned lessons the hard way. And it goes back to how do we try to determine what that is. It's going to take some smart people who pay attention to the world we live in, and then try to figure out how is it we can make the teamwork and the union concept benefit those workers as we go into the future. That's a fun challenge. It's a huge challenge. It'll require hard work and dedication, but yeah, it can be done. And I think maybe it is time catches up with all of us. You know, Father Time never loses a battle, but it also opens doors. And maybe it's time for a new group to come in and shake things up. I would welcome that.
There you go. All right. Hold that thought. I have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some more. Tom Buffenberger, our independent labor voice right here on America's Workforce. Later in the show, John Rice on behalf of the Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission. As you know, yesterday was Memorial Day. We'll do a wrap up there. Talk about getting their office reopened in downtown and the various locations they have here in northeastern Ohio. Back in a few minutes. Once again, you're listening to America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting, or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
The Food and Drug Administration has recently reported that the heartburn medication Zantac is linked to cancer. Zantac has been linked to a variety of cancers, which include bladder, colorectal, kidney, liver, pancreatic, and stomach. So if you or a loved one took Zantac and developed any of these types of cancer, you need to call Kelly and Ferraro. 216-575-0777. Let me repeat that number. 216-575-0777 for a free case review. You may be entitled to compensation from the drug manufacturer.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
Once again, welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers across America. You can listen to this show wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, just some examples. And once you get hooked on the show, please subscribe to our podcast and give us a rating. We would certainly appreciate a 5-star rating. So let's go back to our live line, rejoin our independent labor voice, Tom Buffenbarger. Longtime member of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. How many years are you retired now? What is it? Is it four or five?
I've been retired almost, well, in January, this coming January, it'll be 5 years. But in November, Flash, I hit my 50-year mark as a continuous, full-fledged, dues-paying member of Machinist Local 912 in Evendale, Ohio.
Oh, my gosh. That's a long time, buddy. Long time.
Yeah, my dad was a 67-year member there.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez. Want to do a shout-out. I mentioned this at the top of the show. This is District 751 in Everett, Washington. And the IAM members there in several Boeing shops are making protective masks, cloth masks, for their fellow union members and other workers. 33,000 cloth masks being produced at one of the plants in Everett, Washington. So, once again, union brothers and sisters coming to the aid of American workers, helping themselves out at the plants, and whatever they make in excess is going to whoever needs it. So that's a good thing. Good thing. Speaking of producing things here in America, I'm sure you've been paying a lot of attention. You kind of touched on this in the first segment, and you and I have talked about this over the years. I mean, NAFTA started the bleeding of American jobs. We saw close to a million. They're saying anywhere between 800 to 950,000 jobs left America with NAFTA. And then you saw the Korean trade deal, the Central American one, NAFTA, CAFTA, all these different trade deals. And then China enters the World Trade Organization. And both sides, both political parties were responsible for this. All right. Do you think that this pandemic is going to be a wake-up call? Because so many people are realizing, and I don't want to get into this whole thing about, oh, it's China's fault. Well, maybe it is China's fault. I'm not going to get into that debate. It did originate apparently there. And then a lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute, everything is made there. We couldn't get those. It screwed up our supply chains. Will corporate America say, we can't run this train down these tracks and then fall off the tracks again? What's your thoughts on this, Tom?
Oh, Flash, this has been one of my favorite arguments to have among friends, and that is, this isn't China's fault. It's not. It's our fault, because when all of these trade deals happened, it was the labor movement who raised the alarm flag saying, whoa, if you give technology away, if you give intellectual knowledge away to China, they're going to end up using it against us. So is this China's fault? No, it's our fault. It's the politicians and the companies who wanted to be able to set up shop on the shores of the countries that paid the cheapest wages possible. We gave away the work. We gave away our ability to compete and manufacture things. And now for these politicians to somehow wake up and say, oh, we've got to fix this. Well, you broke it. You're damn right you got to fix it. And if you can't fix it, then we need different leaders in this country. And that's been an issue among all of us for years, is that we watched our nation at the mercy of Congress, Republican and Democrat, you're absolutely right, give away America's ability to produce the means of its prosperity. And I've used this saying for years and years, and I claim this little saying is that once we lose the ability to produce our prosperity, to manufacture it, we lose the ability to manufacture or make the means of our defense. They go hand in hand. It's national security and a prosperous economy. And we watched our successive governments whittle that away on the American people, and it was so wrong. And now I do have to say I'm happy to see people are waking up to this and realizing that, hey, our medicines, our ability for our cell phones, our technology, all this stuff that came about through innovative American ingenuity and then manufactured someplace else. The realization we need to rethink this, stop it, and bring this work back home, I'm happy to hear it. It's just that we shouldn't have been in this position to begin with.
Right. Well, there's a lot of talk about it. And Tom, as you know, a lot of times the talk does not turn into action. These corporations that you're speaking about, they love those low wages. You know that. What is it? China, a couple dollars an hour. So my question is, okay, you're going to bring those jobs back to the United States. Are they going to force American workers to work less? I mean, we can't afford that kind of a living style here in America. What's your reaction to that, Tom?
Well, it's twofold. Going back to, I remember Jack Welch, who was chairman of General Electric back in the day when it was the richest company in the world, and he said at a big conference in Boca Raton, Florida, the ideal factory would be built on a barge and moored to the docks of the country with the cheapest wages. So it was wages is the real key point to this. And will Americans work under the conditions the Chinese, the Mexican workers, or the Central American workers, or other low-wage country workers work? No, and they shouldn't. We didn't before. Americans earned good wages because they produce great products. Mm-hmm. And that's what will happen again. And it's time that the worker be respected, just like these titans of industry who make, upwards of 2,000 times what the average wage is they pay to their worker. It's obscene. And, in the other countries, the CEOs and those type of folks don't make that differential in salaries and wages. That would go a long way to bringing some equity and equality back and some economic justice to workers here. I think the fact that we need to realize as a matter of national priority and our own self-interest as Americans, as Canadians, that making things in your country is essential. And we'll find the balance of cost. People can only pay what they can afford to pay, and if they think they need a wage increase, then by God, it's time to form a union and go negotiate a wage increase.
Exactly, yeah. I'll tell you, I think that's why a lot of people decide not to vote anymore, because both sides, again, getting back to Democrats as well as Republicans, they were in favor of these trade deals. And, Tom, when you lose your job, that is devastating. It's devastating to you, your family, and most likely you're going to accept a job with much less pay, especially if you go from manufacturing into the service sector or retail sector. And look at now, the retail sector was pummeled here because of the coronavirus. But these are things that people do not forget, and they get disconnected from the political system. And that's really unfortunate, because there is a connection. There's some good people out there.
Flash, it goes back to our educational system, too. I noticed this when my own kids were in school. We have been retreating from teaching very thorough history, teaching economics at the high school level. Even at the upper grade school level, we need to get back to that. People need to understand that history can repeat itself, and by God, it's doing it right now.
Oh, and yeah, big time.
We just keep doing the same old thing or the same old response to it is not going to provide a different outcome. So when you understand history and you see an event or a series of events that will shake things up, maybe we need to respond in different ways. And we need to start educating our people again, not through reality TV, but through good old-fashioned discussion, classroom work. And people need to start becoming aware of the world they live in. And they think some things don't connect them or affect them. It does. Everything is connected. And the more make people, our citizens, our brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, aware of what's going on around them, the more they pay attention to it, the better outcome we'll have for everybody and our country. And there's so much ahead of us. For as bad as all this is, and I try to be an optimist, I think there's opportunity coming down the pike at us to rethink things and do things differently. And I think we can make a better outcome happen.
You know, I want to go back. You talk about history, and we're talking about those who came home after World War II. And they were frustrated. You mentioned, 16 million military members who worked side, who fought side by side, who came home to work side by side, and they saw things were not palatable for raising a family. And then you saw the introduction of the GI Bill. But take a look at that time period, Tom. We're talking like 1946 to 53. 1953 is when union density was at its highest. It was 35%. One out of three American workers belonged to a union. That was the middle class. We can go back to those times.
My father was a part of that, Flash. He served in World War II in the Pacific. And this is where I learned about the military experience showing the service people of the time that the power of teamwork. And so organizing in the late 40s and early 50s was a powerful thing. And I remember as a kid going to union meetings with my dad. You didn't know if you were in a union hall or a VFW or American Legion post meeting. And these guys understood it. It certainly left a big impression on me that they understood you look out for one another and you stand up for the rights of all, not just the one. It was for the rights of all. And that's become like a guiding principle for much of the labor movement.
All right, Tom, I'm going to leave it on that note. Always a pleasure getting your perspective. Our independent labor voice, Tommy Buffenbarger, former general president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. You take care, my friend. Be safe. We'll talk to you in June, okay?
You got it. And the best to you and all your listeners, Flash. I hope everyone stays safe and healthy, and we'll get through this.
Amen, brother. All right, we're going to take a quick break. John Rice on behalf of the Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission coming up next. Once again, you're listening to America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output, a 500,000 strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
This special message goes out to all veterans and dependents of veterans who are living in Cuyahoga County. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission proudly provides a wide variety of services and assistance, including the following: filing VA claims, helping obtain disability or widow pensions, assistance obtaining military records, memorial affairs, social work, rent or mortgage assistance, utility bills, food, clothing and hygiene, and VA medical transportation. For more information about these services or your eligibility, call 1-844-405-VETS. That's 1-844-405-8387. Or go online to CuyahogaVets.org. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission, veterans helping veterans since 1886.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio. For workers across America, once again, you can find us online, awfradio.com, and you can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, just some examples. And once you get hooked on the show, we ask you to subscribe to our podcasts and give us a rating. We'd appreciate a five-star rating. Let's go to line number two. Welcome back to the show. One of our sponsors, John Rice, on behalf of the Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission. You can find them online, CuyahogaVets.org. Phone number toll-free, 1-866-915-VETS. Real simple, 866-915-VETS. Hey, John, welcome back to the show. And first question, how did things go yesterday for Memorial Day? You've been through this many, many times. I'd like to get your perspective of what you did, what went on, and how people reacted to it, especially this time.
Well, yeah. So, first of all, it was a great day. I mean, the weather cooperated for everyone who wanted to be out and, you know, and pay their tributes. But, you know, this year has certainly brought its own unique challenges. There, you know, social distancing and rules as such, it was interesting. So I personally spoke at the Chagrin Falls event, which was limited in capacity because of all the new rules, but they live streamed the event. They had the speakers and they were still able to come together, provide the appropriate honors and put a very well put together ceremony. I mean, it was one of the better ceremonies I've ever been to. It was just really well done, very respectful, and to both the situation of the current situation of coronavirus, but also very respectful to the legacy of Memorial Day and the reason we come together for these events.
Exactly. That's good. Well, the you adapted well then. Everybody adapted well on that. That's very good. So what about the Veterans Service Commission? The last time you and I talked, you were slowly kind of getting back or getting prepared to reopen. You were doing a lot of things virtually, online. Where do we stand right now, John?
So we are open for operations, and now they're modified in a sense. So we aren't conducting any face-to-face interviews, but we're still doing all the services we would normally do. The only difference is rather than sitting across a desk from us, we're going to call you. And so we have individuals that come in, any of the paperwork that we would need, come down to our office. We'll give you a packet. You can fill it out and then submit it through a Dropbox, and then you can go ahead and leave. And then when we get to your packet in the box, we're going to call you, conduct that interview over the phone. If there's any missing documentation or if we need a signature on something, we'll have to bring you back down. But the truth is it usually takes a more than one trip down to get VA claim processed anyway, right? Because usually we give you some documents, have you go get some things, and then come back later and, sign and submit. So it doesn't really create too many extra hurdles for individuals, except for you're not going to actually sit down face-to-face with a service officer. And that's okay. The only thing we're not doing right now is our county veteran ID cards. There's really no way to do that without having a person sit right next to you in front of a camera and take a picture and do all that. And it's hard-pressed to argue that those are a necessity right now. So I think that we're probably – pretty comfortable with this being a sustainable solution. Our staff is, just for everyone to understand how we're respecting social distancing for both clients and staff, is that our staff is on alternating shifts. So we have people working, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week, and Tuesday, Thursday next week, and the alternating team on the other days. And so, and then when they're not in the office, they're at home doing our phone calls, which for those individuals who are concerned about whether or not we're keeping people busy, even if they're not in the office, we do 150 phone calls a day. So they're just taking that phone call load off of the individuals that are here processing packets. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. How long do you see that going? Or is it you're just going to watch the situation with the pandemic?
Yeah, we're going to watch the situation during the pandemic. And then, you know, there's some lessons learned from doing this, which is, you know, in the past, it's not unheard of because of just how long it can take to do financial assistance or how long it takes to do a VA claim. It wasn't unheard of that there might be an hour-long wait to come and see a service officer. And so there's some level of these types of actions that may maintain even after we open up and start doing live interviews. We may allow people to submit through a Dropbox. If they don't want to sit in a waiting room and wait, if they can fill out a packet, provide all the appropriate documentation, and drop it in a box and then not wait, that could be huge for them. That could also be huge for individuals who have trouble getting to us because of work. And, you know, they can't take off 4 hours and then come down here, find parking, get into our offices, wait for an hour, then have an interview to do a service officer, then go back to work. So it might make sense for them to just be able to swing by, throw some information in a Dropbox, you know, download our packet offline or whatever. And so we're reviewing on what types of what parts of this modification may be able to help us increase our customer service beyond, you know, our coronavirus days. So.
Yeah. Gotcha. And there's so many services available. I mentioned this at the top of every show that I do with you. You talk about VA claims, disability, military records, rent, mortgage assistance, utility bills. I mean, there's so much that you guys do at the Veterans Service Commission. I can only assume because of the pandemic, you're seeing more of this being done online. Are people going to CogoVets.org to get the help they need? Is that happening?
Yeah, there are people that are going there. And unfortunately, we don't have an electronic submission portal right now. And with the amount of, you know, information, and specifically the type of information that is required to submit for either a financial assistance application or a VA claim, that information is enough information to, you know, take a person's identity, right? And so until we have a secure portal for submission, we're not going to allow electronic submissions. So we still require them to, you know, we have our packet they can go print out, and then they can fill it out and then provide the appropriate documentation and come do a hard drop-off at our Dropbox. We are working on a solution, and I wouldn't say it's imminent at any point, by any means, but at some point we hope to have a solution that is a secure portal that allows people to submit online and you know, adequately protect their privacy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's so much fraud going on online. I totally understand that. And hackers getting in. So, you got to be really, really careful with what you do. At least you can get the information and get the process started. I think that's the important thing. Yep. Real good. Anything else here? We got less than a minute left. Anything you want to call attention to, John?
No, I just want to remind everyone that, you know, if you have any recommendations for any of the services that we have or anything that we've been doing during this process, don't hesitate to reach out. And give us a call in our automated system. You can go through and you can select other and executive director, and you can leave me a message directly. We're open to how we can improve operations or what gaps we're missing in our community. We do our best here every day, but we're cognizant of the fact that we are not, you know, infallible. We can make mistakes, and we may just not be seeing something. And so let us know, and we look forward to trying to improve operations.
There you go. Well, you pass on any information to me, and we'll get it here on America's Workforce. You take care. Be safe. We'll talk to you next month, my brother, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you. You have a great day.
Once again, John Rice on behalf of the Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission, CuyahogaVets.org. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, the heat and frost insulators and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Until then, all of you have a wonderful and safe day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.